So starting today, we're going to have four special Christmas services during all those Sundays of December. Ben led us in a beautiful song this morning. What is Christmas without Jesus? Christ is the whole point of Christmas. And so, to celebrate Christmas this December, we want to fix our eyes on Christ Jesus. And that is what this sermon series is also all about. We're kicking off a four-part sermon series this morning. For those of us who love and follow Jesus, these 4 weeks will be an opportunity to pause and dig deeper into Jesus, enjoying who He is, what He has already done for us, and the future hope He is offering to every one of us because of what He has already done. And for those of us who are new to New City, if you're still exploring Jesus, if you're still checking Jesus out, I hope these four talks will help you understand who Jesus is. And we want to give you the space to do that exploration at your pace. But what we do want to do is we want to really encourage to think about Jesus this Christmas season and come to a decision. It is important that we decide. It's important that we make our minds on who Jesus is. I guess all of us have heard about... Can I have a little bit more volume on the monitor, please? Thank you. I guess all of us have heard about C.S. Lewis. He was a great thinker and a writer. His book, which is turned into a movie, The Chronicles of Narnia, is probably his best-known work here in India, thanks to the movie. And C.S. Lewis says that when we hear about Jesus, we all have to resolve a trilemma about him. Now, a dilemma is something you have to, when you have to decide between two things. But a trilemma is something we have to decide between three things. And C.S. Lewis says about Jesus, we have to settle a trilemma in our hearts. And this is what C.S. Lewis says. We have to decide if Jesus is a lunatic, or Jesus is a liar, or Jesus is the Lord Himself. C.S. Lewis goes on to say that Jesus made some incredible claims about Himself in the days that He lived here on earth. Jesus claimed that He was the Son of God, equating Himself with God Himself. Jesus also claimed that He was the only way that any human being could come to God. And Jesus was very clear in saying there is no other way in which any human being could come to God. Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 6, which is from the Bible, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And Jesus made some really remarkable claims. And because Jesus made these claims, C.S. Lewis says, we have to decide if Jesus is a madman, a lunatic, claiming all these insane things, or he was a consummate liar who has managed to deceive millions of people for 2,000 years. That's the second possibility. Now, the third possibility is that he is who he claimed he was, the Lord Himself, and the only way to God. Lunatic, liar, or the Lord Himself. Friends, I'm really going to encourage us. We cannot be, not make up our minds. Make up your minds on one of these three, because that's we are intellectual, logical people. We've got to pick, put the pieces together, and the balls in your court. And so this series, this 4 weeks of talks that we're going to be having, we're going to be looking at the life of Jesus, and we hope this helps you in that process of you making up your decision on what do you believe about Jesus. And if we look at the life of Jesus, we could possibly distill all he said into all he did in his life ever into four simple things. Jesus prayed. Jesus taught. Jesus cared. And Jesus paid. He paid the punishment for our sins. So over the next 4 weeks, we will be looking at each of these four aspects of what Jesus did. And this morning, we're going to be starting off with the first talk, Jesus prayed. I'd like to base this talk from just one verse from a book in the Bible called Hebrews. This is part of the New Testament, and it was written by a disciple of Jesus, and it was written a few years after Jesus had lived, died, and risen from the dead. And allow me to read that verse out for us. During the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with fervent cries and tears to the one who could save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverent submission. Please allow me to read that one more time. During the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with fervent cries and tears to the one who could save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverent submission. Allow me to pray before we consider this passage. Father God, we thank you for giving us the greatest gift ever, the gift of your Son, Christ Jesus. And this morning we want to pray that in a way that mere human beings could never experience, we pray that your Holy Spirit would come, bring your word deep into our hearts, and help us not just to intellectually know and learn and understand, but also to experience with our entire being who Jesus is and what he has done for us. We pray that you would, Holy Spirit, we pray that you would make the gospel not just truth, but also power this morning. We worship you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'd like to draw just three things for us from this passage. The first thing I want to do is I hope to establish that prayer was a defining aspect of Jesus' life here on earth. The second thing I'd like to do is I'd like to explore why did Jesus pray? What was his motivation to pray? And lastly, I intend to spend some time bringing all this home to our hearts. What does Jesus' life of prayer mean to us? So Jesus prayed, why Jesus prayed, and what it means for us. Let's dive right in. The first thing I'd like to establish from this passage is that Jesus prayed. Let's go back to the first part of the sentence that we are meditating on today. During the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions. And this sentence gives us a clear sense that the life of Jesus was characterized by prayer. Prayer for Jesus was not an on and off thing. All the days of his life on earth were characterized by prayer. Praying to God, his Father, was one of the most important things that Jesus did in his time here as a human. The Bible captures the life story of Jesus in four books written by four different disciples. These books kick off the New Testament in the Bible. These four are written by Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And if you're curious about Jesus and if you're checking him out and if you're new to New City, the best place you can begin reading about Jesus are these four books. Pick one of these four books and start reading, and you'll learn all that Jesus did here on earth. There are many versions of the Bible available, and these days you don't even need to own a Bible. You don't need to go to a bookstore to buy a Bible. You can just look it up online. There are free Bibles available online, and among the many versions, the ones that are most easy to read, I would recommend the NIV, which is the New International Version, or the NLT, or the Message version. And you could read these and pick one that you enjoy the most. And each of these books describes in great detail how much Jesus prayed during his life. Jesus prayed in the morning and in the night. Jesus prayed alone and with his disciples and before everyone. Jesus prayed before setting out on his work, and Jesus prayed at the end of his work. Jesus also prayed when he was doing his work. Jesus prayed before making important decisions. Jesus prayed at parties, and Jesus prayed in the church. Jesus prayed a few days before he went to the cross. Jesus prayed just before he went to the cross. Jesus prayed even as he was hanging there on the cross. Jesus prayed with sick people. Jesus prayed with healthy people. Jesus prayed with young people. Jesus prayed with old people. Jesus prayed with poor people. Jesus prayed with rich people. Jesus prayed long prayers. Once he went by himself 40 days to pray, Jesus would pray through the night. He prayed long prayers, but Jesus also prayed short one-sentence prayers. Jesus prayed when he was happy. Jesus prayed when he was sad. Jesus prayed when he was angry. In fact, there was not a single time in his life when Jesus did not pray. If you read these four books, you will agree with me and this verse, which says that Jesus' life was characterized by prayer. Jesus was talking to God, his Father, all the time through prayer. Let me just show a couple of examples from Jesus' life on how he prayed. I'm going to read a few verses from the Gospels that I talked about a little earlier. This is from Mark chapter 1, verses 35 to 37. Early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. You know, last week, Ranjit was here from City Rock, and he said, I heard someone, a young man in my church, pray this prayer. He said, thank you, God, for helping me wake up early in the morning to come to you and pray early in the morning, and it was 10:30 in the morning. For some of us, that's early in the morning. But for Jesus, this was before dawn, probably 4 a.m., 5 a.m. He had a long day of ministry ahead, and he wanted to go and pray. He was praying at the beginning of his ministry. Another day, Jesus had a really long, tiring few days of ministry. On the last day of his ministry, he did an amazing miracle. He took 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, and he blessed that. And just that quantity of food multiplied so that it was enough and more for 5,000 people to feast on. At the end of this day of ministry, Jesus prayed, and allow me to read that verse. This is from Mark chapter 6. Immediately after this miracle and after he finished teaching these 5,000 people, Jesus made his disciples get into a boat and go on ahead of him to Bethsaida when he dismissed the crowd. After leaving them, he went on a mountainside to pray. I don't know about you, but I find it very hard and challenging to pray for many reasons. I find it hard to pray in the beginning of the day because I'm excited about all the things I have lined up for the day. And I find it challenging to pray at the end of the day because I'm just tired and fatigued and worn out. I struggle to pray. I know that I'm not praying as much as I desire to be praying and as much as I ought to be praying. Not so with Jesus. He prayed at all times. Let me give us one more example of Jesus praying, and then we'll move to the next part of what I have for us this morning. When do we pray? Generally, we pray only when we have messed something up, and we've tried to fix it, and we've come to a realization there's absolutely no way I can fix it. And then when we've explored all avenues and there are no other avenues left, as a last resort, we pray. That's true, isn't it? I can relate to this. As I look back at my childhood, I remember two of my earliest, most deepest, and most heartfelt, and most intense of prayers that I prayed as a young boy. And strangely, alcohol had a lot to do with both prayers. Now, I'm going to share those two stories with me. I'm serious. The first time, I think I was in my 11th grade, and some of my friends had this bright idea that we are going to drink in school. And so they went and brought packets of liquor. Now, in those days, I grew up in Chennai. In those days, you would get government-sold liquor, which is really cheap. I think just $5 a pack or something. And I never tried that stuff before, you know. And it was potent. I'll tell you what happened. So, you know, they bought it, and during the interval, we all went out to the canteen, and, you know, we mixed it up in our water bottles and came to class, and I wanted to prove myself that I'm a man, and I wanted to show my friends I could handle alcohol, and I took, I don't remember, quite a few gulpfuls, and I've never had fun sitting in a chemistry class before like that. And my friends were trying to shut me up, you know, and I said, why are you shutting me up? I'm having fun, and I guess I gave the gave everything away. And so soon enough, they figured out what had happened. And so when they were mixing the drinks in the water bottle, they took the help of a staff of the school, you know, one of the cleaners and stuff like that. And next day morning, there's a class happening, and the principal walks in with this boy. The moment I see him, I realize something was wrong. And then the principal says, I want you to the man, the boy he bought, and I want you to pick all the guys who you saw mixing the liquor. And my heart sank. And I think that's the first time I prayed in my life. I mean it. I'm not exaggerating. I really mean it. And this is my prayer. God, only 2 months ago, I got caught shoplifting in school uniform, and my parents had come to meet the principal. Let me not get caught this time. And I'm writing my prayers. I'm scribbling. I still remember this. I scribbled the prayer on the wooden bench. It was so intense. I was desperate. No way I could get out of this mess. Last resort prayer. And so I prayed. And this boy started picking one by one. And miraculously, he left me. I didn't get picked. And I said, the moment he didn't pick me, I said, God, I'm never going to touch alcohol again. And that evening, I was drinking to celebrate, and my friends were drinking to grieve getting caught. You know, I was not a follower of Jesus at that point in time, and I've done some wild and reckless things in the days before I became a follower. Most of you know that I come from a Hindu Brahmin background, and I had a Hindu upbringing, and I hadn't discovered Jesus at that point in time in my life. So when I was desperate, when I messed it up, I couldn't fix it, I turned to prayer. The second earliest recollection I have of prayer was also in my 11th grade. It was quite an eventful year for me. It was New Year's Eve. New Year's Eve was around the corner. And I remember going from one liquor store to another and getting totally drunk. And those days, there were no pubs in Chennai, and if you had to go, you had to go to a five-star hotel, which you know, on the pocket money my parents gave me, no way I could afford that. And so we moved from one liquor store, and I got totally drunk. And I don't know, I think maybe it was 3 a.m., 4 a.m. in the morning, I decided I had to start the new year on a very good note by going to the temple and praying. And my friends were drunk enough to indulge me in that. So I led a group of five drunk men, boys, to a temple to pray. And if we come from a Hindu background like I do, the way we Hindus worship is by lying prostrate on the temple as an act of worship, and that's what I was used to. So as soon as I entered the temple, I did what I was taught as a child. I laid on prostrate to pray and worship. Now I don't want to embarrass myself too much up here, but let me say this: it took me about 7-8 moments attempts to get back on my feet after praying. And I can't forget the face of the temple priest who was sitting there, and he began his new year watching a bunch of drunk guys stumbling around in his temple. You know, I discovered Jesus a few years later, and Jesus helped me overcome my problem with alcohol along with many other problems. Let me just quickly make one thing clear. I know we've laughed about it. Let me make one thing clear. I can assure you that I no longer need alcohol to get me started on prayer. Yeah, let me make that very clear. Jokes apart, and it's good to laugh at my adolescent immaturity. I'm game for that. But let's be honest. Are we any different as mature professionals when it comes to when we pray? Isn't it true that we go to God only when we are in desperate trouble? When our career is going downhill, when there's this boss who's turned up, who's giving us a tough time, or this peer who's turned up, and things are going bad, aren't those the only times, more often than not, when we turn to God for prayer? We often pray for trouble and hardship to go away in our lives. You know, Jesus, why we pray, the motive of why we pray for a comfortable life. We pray for a happy life. But Jesus prayed not for the hardships to go away, but Jesus prayed for grace to endure those hardships. I want to just show one more example of Jesus praying. And this is from another book called Luke. One of those days, Jesus went on to a mountainside to pray and spent the entire night praying to God. When morning came, he called his disciples to him and chose 12 of them, who he also designated apostles. I'd like us to think about this simple question. Did Jesus pray for wisdom to choose 12 right disciples? He prayed all night to pick the 12 disciples. Did Jesus pray for wisdom to pick the correct 12 disciples to be apostles? Or did Jesus pray for strength to pick one of those disciples to be an apostle? Among the 12 he picked, Jesus picked Judas Iscariot, knowing fully well that that Judas would betray Jesus, sending him to the cross to be crucified. I think Jesus prayed more for strength to pick Judas, knowing well what would happen, than he prayed for wisdom in picking those 12. That's the first point that I really wanted to labor on this morning. Jesus' life was characterized by prayer. Jesus prayed all the time. The second thing I'd like to explore this morning is, why did Jesus pray? You know, I started off talking about the trilemma that C.S. Lewis outlined. Is Jesus a liar? Is Jesus a lunatic? Or is Jesus the Lord himself? And if you're new to a church setting, and if you're still just exploring Jesus, and if you're actually leaning towards the third option, that Jesus is indeed who he claimed to be, God himself, then the passage that we've picked today thus may pose a problem to you. Why did Jesus pray? I think it's a very important question we must wrestle with. In other words, if Jesus was indeed God, why did God have to pray? One could well argue that Jesus is not God because he prayed to God. And you could argue something like this: God does not pray, Jesus prayed, so he is not God, he is just a man. That's a pretty good argument. It's a pretty good argument, except that Christmas destroys that argument. Christmas is a celebration of God becoming man. Jesus, who was fully God, came to earth in a fully human form. Jesus was fully God and fully human. John, who was one of the disciples of Jesus, explains this better than anybody else in the Bible. This truth and this mystery that Jesus was both fully God and fully man at the same time was so important to John that this was the first sentence he wrote when he wrote an account of the life of Jesus. And this is what John says in John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was Jesus, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And John goes on to unpack this thought later on. Verse 14, he says, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. Jesus was God. Jesus was with God. He was in the beginning, and the Word became flesh. Jesus is God in human form, fully God, fully man. Okay, there's just one phrase in the first sentence which begs an explanation. Jesus was God, I get that. He became flesh, I get that. He became man, I get that. But this verse also says that Jesus was with God. Jesus was God and Jesus was with God. If Jesus was indeed God, how can he also be with God? Let me just take a moment to explain it. God is one, but he has three personalities: God the Father, God his Son, Jesus Christ, and God the Holy Spirit. They are one, and yet they are different. They have different personalities. It's like water, ice, and vapor. They're all the same chemical composition, but three different expressions of what is one. So these three people, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, are together called as the Godhead. And I hope that explanation is a little helpful for us, especially if we are kind of new to a church context, if you're curious about Jesus, if you're exploring him. I hope that explanation was helpful, but the question that we are wrestling with still remains. If Jesus is indeed God, why did he pray? Because God does not pray. There is no need for God to pray. Allow me to give three reasons why Jesus prayed even though he was God. Three reasons. First, Jesus prayed to give us an example of what a relationship between God and a human being could look like. When God created humanity, God's plans for human beings was to have a real, beautiful, and personal relationship with God. When God created Adam, the first man that he created, Adam indeed had that beautiful, perfect, easy relationship with God. But Adam messed up big time and he sinned. And a holy God cannot tolerate sin. So Adam lost his fellowship with God. And because Adam messed up, and because every man and woman, including you and I, since then have been messing up and sinning, Jesus became a man to give us an example of what a perfect relationship between God and man could look like. And prayer is how Jesus the man related to God the Father. Let me drive home this point in one sentence. Jesus showed that the fullness of intimacy and community that exists between the Trinity can be experienced between God and man through prayer. Jesus prayed as a human, giving us an example that a perfect relationship between God and man is indeed possible. Jesus showed that a man could have a perfect relationship with God, but only if that man is sinless. And Jesus was indeed sinless, and so he enjoyed as a man the same beautiful relationship he enjoyed as God with God the Father and the Holy Spirit. Now, I guess we'll all agree that none of us are perfect. I don't think there's anyone here who says, I'm perfect, I have no flaws in me. You know, that's just not true. All of us mess up. All of us are selfish in some ways. All of us, if I may use the word, are wicked at some level or the other. And if we are all sinless, what's the point of having an example of a sinless man having a relationship with God? Because that's of no help to us. Because as a sinner, as a selfish person, I cannot have that relationship with God. Jesus was sinless, so he had. Good for him. How does it help me? That brings us to the second reason why Jesus prayed. The second reason why Jesus prayed was Jesus prayed as our priest. Just as any priest prays on behalf of people, Jesus prayed on our behalf. The verse we're looking at this morning is from Hebrews chapter 5. The entire chapter and even the end of the previous chapter makes just one big point, that Jesus is our high priest. And because the context of the passage, because this entire chapter makes that one point, Jesus is our high priest, the fact that during the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with fervent cries and tears, this has to be understood as Jesus praying for us as our high priest. When this verse says Jesus, during the days of his life on earth, offered up prayers and petitions with fervent cries and tears, Jesus is not praying for himself to God the Father. Jesus is praying for us. You see, that's the second reason for Christmas. The second reason why Jesus, who is God, became fully human. Jesus became human to become our human high priest to intercede for us. Jesus became man to become our representative before God. Jesus became man to become our advocate before God. That is why Jesus prayed. Jesus did not pray for himself. Neither did Jesus pray as God. There is no need for God to pray. Jesus did not pray as God, but Jesus prayed as a man to his Father, representing all of us. Jesus represented humanity when he prayed to God. He prayed as our substitute. That's the second reason that Jesus prayed as a priest. A majority of Jesus' prayers, in fact, I would say all of Jesus' prayers, except one that are written in the Bible, he prayed as our high priest, in which he's praying for us, not for himself. All the prayers he prayed, except one, he prayed as our high priest. And the one prayer that Jesus did not pray as our high priest, he prayed as our sacrificial lamb. Broadly speaking, Jesus prayed just two prayers, two kinds of prayers. The many prayers he prayed, as this verse describes, as the high priest, and the one prayer he prayed two, three times in his life, as our sacrificial lamb. All the days, all the years of his life, Jesus prayed for us as our high priest. At the end of his life, he became the sacrificial lamb and just prayed one prayer for himself. And this is what Jesus prayed. He prayed, "Father, if it is possible, let me not go to the cross, yet not my will, but your will be done." Please don't read this wrong. Jesus is not afraid of the punishment the Roman soldiers would mete out on him as they crucify and nail him to the cross. Jesus was not afraid of that at all. Jesus was in agony before he went to the cross because he was afraid. He was petrified over the punishment that God was going to put upon him for your sins and mine. And so Jesus prayed for us as our sacrificial lamb. Jesus is our high priest. Jesus is also our sacrificial lamb. And that's the third reason that Jesus prayed. He prayed as the lamb that was sacrificed to bear the full punishment of your sins and mine. Friends, this is Christmas. Jesus was born to be our high priest. He was also born to be our sacrificial lamb. That is why Jesus, who was God himself, prayed to God, because he prayed as a man, taking our humanity. So let me quickly sum up three reasons why Jesus prayed that we've looked at. He prayed as an example. He prayed as a high priest. He prayed as a substitute by becoming our sacrificial lamb. Jesus prayed to his beloved Father for strength to die at the hands of his beloved Father, taking the punishment for your sins and mine upon himself. Let me say that again. Jesus prayed to his beloved Father for strength to die on the cross at the hands of his beloved Father, taking the punishment for your sins and mine upon himself. I'd like to lead us to a close with the third and the last thing I would like to draw for us from this passage. What does all this mean to us? To answer the question, I first have to raise and answer another question from the verse that we are looking at today. During the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with fervent cries and tears to the one who would save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverent submission. I have a simple question for us to think about. Why was Jesus' prayer heard and answered? From this verse, why was Jesus' prayer heard and answered? Was Jesus' prayer heard and answered because of his fervent cries and tears, because he prayed with an intensity of emotion? No. This passage is very clear. This passage says Jesus' prayers were heard and answered because of his reverent submission. Jesus' prayer as a high priest are answered because of his reverent submission as our sacrificial lamb. All his prayers as a high priest, intense cries and tears as a high priest, are answered because of his reverent submission to death, even death on a cross as a sacrificial lamb. If Jesus was heard and answered because of his reverent and perfect submission, our prayers too, when we pray those prayers by faith in Jesus, when we make those prayers to God through Jesus, our prayers will also be answered, not because of the intensity of our emotions, not because of our perfect submission, but because of Jesus' perfect submission as our substitute, as our representative on our behalf. Jesus died on the cross as our substitute. The curse and punishment we deserve for all of your sins and mine, he took upon himself. The blessings he deserved for his perfect life, he gave to us. So all the reward of Jesus's blessings, all the reward and blessings of Jesus's reverent submission is credited to us. So when we pray by faith in Jesus, when we pray to God through Jesus, God is covenant bound to bless us. Our prayers made in the name of Jesus stand on the perfect platform of the righteous life of Jesus. Based on this truth, there are three thoughts and applications that I'd like to draw for us practically. First, emotions are an important part of prayer. Very often, many of us, when we pray, we tear up. Our heart is broken and we pray. That is good. God hasn't called us to be zombies and emotionless in our prayer. Emotions in prayer are good. The Psalms are full of emotional prayers made to God. But God does not hear our prayers because of our emotions. You know, it took me a long time to get this. You know, somehow I thought that if I really cry, if I really, you know, muster all the intensity of emotions that I have and pray to God, God will answer my prayer. God does not answer my prayer because of my emotions, but God answers my prayer because of Jesus' submission as my high priest and as my sacrificial lamb. The second practical application I want to draw for us, we can pray even when we don't feel like praying. I don't know about you, but oftentimes when I pray, especially when I pray alone, I do feel bored. I want to be honest and accept and confess that. You know, it's easier to pray as a group because when we pray as a group, whether we actually consciously do that or not, subconsciously when we pray in a group, we are always performing to people. That's truth. I want to be honest. I struggle with that. Right? When we pray as a group, we are always performing to people. And that's why I've come to realize that I can easily pray in a group, but when I sit down and pray, oftentimes I'm bored. Not all the times, but often enough to convict me of my sin. But if we understand the theology of prayer, even when we are bored and we pray, because of our faith in Jesus, God is willing to overlook our burden and our disregard for Him even. I say this very carefully, because of our faith in Jesus. So we can pray even if we don't feel like praying. I hope that encourages us. I hope that stirs us to a deeper prayer life. Third point, hear me carefully. When we believe in Jesus fully, and we are not the judge if our faith is real, good, and true, I'm not the judge, surely God is the judge. If we truly believe in Jesus, accepting Him as He claimed who He was, the only way to God, the way, the truth, and the life, if we believe in His virgin birth, in His sinless life, in His atoning death, and His justifying resurrection, if we believe in all that, God is covenant bound to answer every one of our prayers. If we truly believe in Jesus, God is sinning if He does not answer our prayers. You heard me right. Because Jesus is perfect, and He did no sin, and God it's God's pleasure to bless and every prayer Jesus made. And when we pray by faith in Jesus, we are rooting our prayers through Jesus. And so God is covenant bound to answer our prayers. God is actually sinning if He doesn't answer my prayer. But why are so many of my prayers not being answered? Fair question. Let me give us a simple answer to this. God relates to us as a father relates to his children. Let me give you an example. There was this billionaire. You know, he was really wealthy. His personal net worth was like something like $25 billion. He was smart, successful, self-made man, incredibly wealthy, and he had a six-year-old son. And this six-year-old son walks up to his dad. The father loved the son. The father, because he had such wealth, would never withhold anything from his son. And so this six-year-old son walks up. And this six-year-old son went to Bandra and took a ride on a rickshaw. He's never been on a rickshaw. He just driven only on a Mercedes. And this son loved the auto rickshaw. And so he walks up to his father. Dad, I want to become an auto driver. Give me all the training I need to become an auto driver. And the son goes to the father and says, that's all I want to do with my life. I want to be an auto driver. I'm willing to bet the billionaire father is not going to answer that prayer of his son. Because his son is far too easily satisfied. I bet you as a father will not answer the prayer. You will not allow, if you're a billionaire father, you will not allow your son to become an auto driver on the streets of Bandra. If God is not answering our prayers, it could potentially mean we are like that kid asking God to become an auto driver. God has better plans. C.S. Lewis says this, we are far too easily satisfied. See unanswered prayers as a doorway to greater things that God has in plan for you and me.